Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, 1025-1063 The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live, thanks to Superbook Sports, live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. So apparently there's a rumor, it's a Twitter rumor, of course, there's a rumor floating around that the Titans have inquired about the number one overall pick with the Chicago Bears. During the break, I called Ryan Porth, and I said, have you heard this at all, as he's now the assistant PD in Chicago, at 670 The Score, one of the best sports stations in the country. I called Porth, and I said, Porth, have you heard this? First of all, he answered the phone, Ian, and he said, why are you calling me at 2:56?
Fair question.
I was like, clearly it's important if I'm calling you at 2:56. He says he's going to look into it, and will get back to us if the Titans are actually interested in the number one pick.
Okay, I like it.
And so we may have an update on that front eventually about what is being said or what is not being said about the Titans and the number one pick. Speaking of rumors and the Titans, yesterday I was minding my own business. Actually, I was honestly waiting to come on the air when I just was, you know, listening to the Pat McAfee show and walking around the studio yesterday, and I heard Ian Rappaport opine that the Tennessee Titans could move off of Ryan Tannehill and go with Jimmy Garoppolo. And we'll play that cut for you right now. This is what I heard yesterday, and it set me off.
Depending on if Derek Carr is a free agent or not, if Derek Carr is not a free agent, if he gets traded, Garoppolo might be the top. I mean, he's a starter. He's got plenty of experience. He took a team to a Super Bowl. It's not going to be like crazy expensive. I think he'll be really attractive, and I do think he'll be a starter. And I think, you know, there's some other guys that I wonder about, too. Like, will Baker be a starter? Will Minshew be a starter? Will Tannehill be a starter if the Titans do something with him? Like, there's – it's a good class. I wouldn't say it's, like, the greatest class ever, but it is a good one.
So if Tannehill is out at Tennessee, that would mean Willis is in?
I'm not so sure about that. I mean, now I would say let's play it forward a little bit. Let's say Tannehill, they do decide to trade him or cut him, or I don't even know. They decide he's not a starter. Rand Carthon is their new GM. He came from San Francisco.
Trey Lance.
Oh, right. No, I don't think so. But Jimmy G might be
awesome. Jimmy G in Nashville, Tennessee.
Wrong game. Sweet.
Could you imagine him in Nashville? I could, actually.
Oh, yeah.
What do you mean?
And Ian, what was my response to that?
No, 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 no.
And I said I had to nip it in the bud right there, right? Because here's why. I knew that as soon as Ian Rappaport said that if we didn't nip that in the bud right then and there, rumors were going to start about, could the Titans really go after Jimmy Garoppolo? YouTube, the Pat McAfee show 23 hours ago. NFL insider says Jimmy G might be headed to be QB1 for the Titans? ! 64,000 views on YouTube. It's probably gotten similar, if not more, on Twitter. Once it gets said, and all of a sudden everybody's like, could that actually be a possibility? And I know that people don't think, and it shouldn't matter. Like, what's said on this program should not make it, you know, should not affect the Titans' decision-making at all. This is the virtual playground. This is an entertainment business. Now, let me tell you, everything I think on this show, it comes from the heart. You all know that. But it doesn't mean that this isn't an entertainment business. If the Titans lose, I don't get fired. But they should not listen to what the outside says. But you know they do. You know it. Mike and the Mad Dog, probably the most famous sports radio show in American history, claims that Mike Piazza got traded from the New York Mets, or excuse me, from the Miami, the Florida Marlins to the New York Mets because of the Mike and the Mad Dog program. And the way the story goes is that Piazza's agent called Mike and the Mad Dog and said, hey, he's probably going to go to the Cubs, but he doesn't want to go to the Cubs. He wants to go to the Mets. So Mike and the Mad Dog had Steve Phillips, the general manager of the Mets, on at the time, and they asked him about Piazza. And Steve Phillips said, Mike Piazza is absolutely not coming to the New York Mets. And so Mike and the Mad Dog went bananas. And everybody started calling in, and everybody started saying, we need Piazza, we need Piazza. And apparently the team president was in the car listening, and he called Steve Phillips and said, we need Piazza. And the next thing you know, Piazza's in New York. Now, other people have denied that, but Mike and the Mad Dog are so steadfast that that's what happened, that you and I both know it does affect opinions. So when somebody says, I think the Titans could get Jimmy Garoppolo, or not even that, when you just see the headline, NFL insider Ian Rappaport thinks Jimmy Garoppolo could be the starting quarterback of the Titans, people are going to think that that is gospel. They are going to think that that's a real possibility. And I told you yesterday, we have to nip that in the bud right now. No, 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 no. Because it's already out there and 64,000 people on YouTube have already looked at it. And it's probably going to end up with somewhere around 200,000 people on YouTube that are going to look at that. And so I just want to end it right here, right now, so that Mike Vrabel and Amy Adams Strunk and Rand Carthon don't ever even let it enter into the membrane that this could be an option for Jimmy Garoppolo to be the next starting quarterback of the Titans. No, no, no. No. Just like when Joe Rexroad wrote that column in The Athletic about, if it doesn't work out with Ryan Day at Ohio State, could Mike Vrabel be the next coach? And all of a sudden, everybody, I've never seen anything like this. And I actually thought it was a pretty good column by Joe. And this is somebody who, when Joe was at the Tennessean, gave him the nickname Bad Take Joe because his takes were so terrible. I actually thought it was a pretty interesting column, and like, I knew what it was. It was Joe speculating, but so many people were like, did you see this story? Vrabel could go to Ohio State? I'm like, it's just one dude's opinion. It's not a big deal, but it became a big deal. It got made into a big deal, and I knew when Ian Rappaport said that, and he was just shooting from the hip right there at the Senior Bowl on the McAfee show saying, I don't know, Rand Carthon was in San Francisco and maybe the Titans could go. No, 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 no. No Jimmy Garoppolo. And while we're at the Jimmy Garoppolo thing, no Derek Carr. Now, I like the fact that Derek Carr is going to stick it up the Raiders' behinds and not let them trade him, and he's going to be a free agent, and somebody's going to pay him a boatload of money because he's a quarterback and all these teams need quarterbacks. But no, 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 no on Jimmy G. No. And now I knew it. I knew when he said it that I needed the people who are fans of this team to hear this. That they needed to not even let it enter into their cranium, the idea that the Titans could go out and get Jimmy Garoppolo. And now it's already hit the metaverse. It's already out there. And once it's out there, there's no going back. I learned that the easy way last year on the Aaron Rodgers home purchase front, which we were right about. And I saw how that thing took off. That was crazy. But this does not need to take off. This needs to stay where it is, which is in the bullcrap department. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. And again, no, 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 no. 615-737-1025 if you want to weigh in. Corey Curtis, News 2, will join us next. His latest thoughts on the Titans, the Vrabel administration, cans a 40-year employee as their first act. What does he make of that? Plus, we do have an update about how to feel about the rumors of the Titans trading for the number one overall pick. We'll get to that as well. Stillman and Company right here on a Fireball Hot Take Friday, 615-737-1025, 1025, 106 through the game. Okay, we have done some digging into these internet rumors about the Titans being interested in the number one overall pick. Our chief Chicago insider, Ryan Porth, has let us know. Somebody tweeted me. It came from the Bears blog, which does not have a blue check mark on Twitter, but it does have like 75,000 followers, including one of my bosses at SiriusXM. So I'm guessing it's probably legit. And so the Bears blog tweeted out, Fields, number one, Fields did not become the guy last week. He became the guy in November, and the whole building loves him, and they should. And two teams have already floated offers for the first pick. Neither is Texans or Colts. Will be fun. and then some other guy on Twitter who does not have a blue check mark and has like 3,000 followers, so I'm not sure I can count it seriously, said that the Titans are one of the inquiring teams into that number one pick. Not sure I buy it. So, again, this is people on the internet saw something. What do you think now as of right now? Now, here's what Porth said about DeBear's blog. Ryan said, DeBear's blog is not well-liked, is wrong 75% of the time, but in rare cases has been 100% correct. He's got sources with the team, but isn't fully credible. What do we make of that?
I don't know. Corey might have some insight. He's a Chicago guy.
That is true. Corey Curtis, News 2, joins us now on the program. Corey, your thoughts?
I think, 60% of the time they write every time, just like Brick Tamblyn.
Do you think there's any chance the Titans are in the mix for the number one overall pick in this draft?
Well, I mean, here's my opinion. Why wouldn't you be? Why wouldn't you see what it would take to get up there from 11? I mean, if there's one of these guys that you like enough, why wouldn't you? We have seen it over and over and over and over and over again. If you don't have Mahomes, if you don't have Burrows, if you don't have Jim, if you don't have that guy back there, you're really up against it, okay? See, if you're not one of those handful of teams with one of those guys, you got to find a way to get one. And, so you got to be sure that he is one, number one, if you're going to make that kind of, because like the Bears traded the farm to move up a spot to get Mitch Trubisky. That wasn't so great. That didn't quite work out. But they tried, so I give them that. But I think I said this last week. If you don't have one of those guys, you need to be investigating your quarterback position every year to see what you can do to get one.
With that being said, Corey, how sure are you that the Titans are going to return Ryan Tannehill as their starting quarterback next year?
Oh, I'm not sure at all. I think it's probably on the more likely side because we talk about the expense of moving up to number one or the expense of, even moving up to number, three or whatever it is. I mean, that stuff all costs a fortune as far as your draft capital goes. And then, the guys that are out there are guys. Those don't make you any better, all right? I mean, that was kind of my hot take. It was like, I don't want to discuss Jimmy G. I don't want to discuss even Derek Carr. I don't want to discuss any of those guys who are all Ryan Tannehill.
Do you think any of those guys are better than Tannehill?
No, I don't. I don't. And if they are, it's so marginally that it's not, it's like sacrificing a pawn for a pawn on a chessboard. It's a waste of time.
Speaking of sacrifices, I think this is the first move of the Vrabel administration. Paul Kaharsky reported on it yesterday that the Titans did not renew the contract of Haas, the equipment manager, for 40 years within the organization. I was actually stunned by this. I mean, that move really pissed me off, and in large part because I know how much Haas meant to Floyd, and a lot of people have echoed those thoughts. A lot of former players have. And I have been surprised about the callers and the texters today who really are upset about this. I mean, Randy texts into the text line and says, not that they care or would do anything about it, but is there any way to let the Titans upper management know that the fans are not happy with something like Haas's firing? It's not like they have a complaint box. They're not going to read their Twitter account. Well, what do you do? Blow up the poor switchboard employee? There should be some way. I do think this is a big deal, Corey. Do you?
I think it's a sad way of doing business. And I think it's, look, I think the way you do things every day says stuff about you, right? And, we don't have a direct reason why Haas was let go. And, look, like along with what you're talking about, there's a lot of people who don't know who Haas was, but they hear about him being there for 40 years. They hear about him coming here from Houston. They hear about, the team being his life. And working for, and then, coach walks in and says, today's your last day. I mean, I know, if you're a player, that's kind of life. But Haas isn't making $3 million a year, all right? And Haas has been there 40 years, not 4 years. And I just, And look, the Titans aren't alone in this. This goes on in every industry in the country, you know, where people are let go and it's not great. But I just think that someone who's been with the organization for 40 years, who made the move from Houston, deserves a little more grace, a little more celebration. You know, even if you decide to move on, isn't there another way to do it? Isn't there a better way to do it? I mean,
this is
like,
what
hey,
I said,
Hawk,
Corey.
We're really sorry, but we want to celebrate you, okay? So here's your retirement package. We're going to have a huge party for you. You're going to have this plaque in the equipment room. You're our guy. We just got to move in another direction.
This is what I said, Corey. Corey Curtis, who's our guest. You don't fire that guy. You give him some kind of position in the organization that is, you know, almost a commemorative position. That is, you know, equipment manager emeritus or team something. You pay him less than you're paying him now. You give him field passes to the game, and he's a part of the organization. You honor him on the field before the game on the Jumbotron. Like, that's what you do. You don't just tell the guy, walk in that day and say, hey, your contract's not being renewed. After 40 years, you're out of here.
I mean, how many times have we heard Vrabel talk about how important relationships are with the people in the cafeteria? And, you know, people in the equipment room, people in the training room. You know, he's talked about that, talked about how players treat those guys and how important that is. That's kind of hard to believe that he means it when you hear something like this, right?
Sure. Do you think Vrabel knew that there was going to be this level of outrage, at least, you know, from former players and people like me and you and Paul that have been around this thing for a while? Do you think he knew that this was going to be that unpopular? Or do you think that he thought, well, who cares about the equipment manager?
I think the second's more likely. But who knows? I mean, maybe he did. Maybe he did. I mean, but, you know, you would think, you know, that's where, you know, like, I mean, Kenneth Adams has been around the organization a long time. Mm-hmm. Long time. I mean, he's been in every department. You know, because he was learning. You know, you'd think there'd be people there to say, yeah, you can't do it this way. We can move on from him, but we got to do it a different way.
Did you see what Paul wrote? No, I didn't get a chance to read it. So Paul wrote at paulkaharski.com that everybody that he talked to yesterday wouldn't say anything, like even behind the scenes, about Haas. Like, not even a, man, that really sucks for him, or, oh, that means we could be next. Like, nobody said anything. And I think that that is the fear with which Mike Vrabel is running that organization right now. And that bothers me.
So basically you're saying it's Belichick 2.0.
Something like that, yes.
Because that seems like exactly like a Bill Belichick move, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, and that was my first thought. I'm like, that's a total Belichick move. So
I mean, what did the equipment manager do? Like, that's the thing that I can't get over is what did you lose 7 games in a row because of him?
Well, look, people get hired and fired for a million different reasons. You know that. I know that.
Absolutely.
You could have great ratings and get fired because the GM at the station doesn't like you and his cousin, you know, Chachi, you know, needs a show. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a million reasons you can get hired or fired. Some of them are good, some of them are bad. So we don't know, you know, the exact reason. We have just heard from people close to the situation. I heard, I told you, you know, how it went down. And that's not cool. I think that's the bottom line. Not that you fired him, but how you fired him. Mm-hmm. It's not real cool. People need to mean more than that. I saw one of the Titans' former players at the YMCA today. He hadn't heard. I told him, and his tongue hit, or his jaw hit the ground when I told him.
Was it Chris
Sanders? Are you kidding me? No, it was not Chris Sanders.
Oh.
I didn't see Chris at the gym today. I think he's going to, you know, lose his swole.
I highly doubt that. It's funny. I talked to somebody close to Floyd because I know how much Haas meant to Floyd. I really do. And I talked to somebody close to Floyd after I opened the show ripping Vrabel's ass for firing Haas, and they told me that they thought, and I think you know this, that most of the time that I would rip Vrabel's tush, Floyd was against that side of it, but they said that he would have been on my side. And that tells you the respect that he had for Haas, and the way that Vrabel just walks into the equipment room and says, "Today's your last day, pack it up." That, I mean, you see, this is the big picture on this, Corey, is that I think Vrabel's an excellent coach. I think he's a good coach,
yep.
And they
really
need
good.
To leave him at coach. Like, that needs to be his position. Just like he doesn't need to be doing the laundry or serving in the cafeteria, he needs to be the coach. He doesn't need to be dealing with these, like, interpersonal relationships with these kind of people because he doesn't understand the ramifications of making this kind of mistake.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, the other thing is, you know, you talk about ripples in the organization. There's a lot of dudes there that you and I know that have been there for a long time. Good people who right now are probably looking over their shoulder hard, saying, "I've given my life to this organization and I might just see the coach one day. And when he's walking down the hall, I need to run in the other direction."
Mm-hmm.
There was
Corey
a time when
News too.
I was going to tell a story.
Go.
There was a time where News 2 was going through some troubling financial times and we were in layoffs. And, you know, the rule was, there had to be two managers in the room to let you go. And my boss at the time asked me to come into the office, and there was him and another manager in there. And I said, "No." He's like, "What?" I said, "I am not setting foot in that room." He's like, "Just get in here." I'm like, "Not until one of you leaves. Not until one of you leaves." And I walked out, and I didn't walk into the office that day. So that was just my image of the Titans equipment staff when they see Vrabel walking down the hall now. Just, "Nope, I'm going the other way."
Did you think you were going to get fired? Were you going to get fired if you'd walked in there?
No, I don't think I was going to get fired.
I don't think so either.
I was just making the point of, you know what? It can be anybody. I mean, it could be me tomorrow. It could be you on Monday, Jared. That's the way this life and this society is.
Here's what I don't get, though, and a lot of people have asked this, and I didn't even really bring this up much, but why not Craig Aukerman? Like, Craig Aukerman keeps his job and Haas loses his?
You're still beating that drum.
He's the worst special teams coach in the league.
Okay. You may think that, okay? You can beat that drum until the cows come marching in, but the one guy who handles that decision does not agree with you.
Yeah, well, he can keep losing when they hit the snapper in the head.
Well, you know, and
see how that works for him.
When you trust, you know, it's all who you trust, right? Mm-hmm. And then the results bear that out. And so, if you have to trust guys, and then at the end, you know, you have to say, I'll never forget when I saw Mike Munchak after they drafted Jake Locker, and I said, "Do you like him?" He said, "I love him." I said, "You better, because your job's right, Don."
Yeah, fair point there. Fireball Hot Take Friday, what's your hot take this week?
You know, I already burned it. You know, look, the quarterback situation is what it is, unless you think you've got the next Herbert, Mahomes, Burrow, Hurts. Just bring back Tannehill because you're just spinning your wheels otherwise. But if you think you can get that guy, go get him. And I don't know if there's a price that's too steep.
Corey Curtis, News 2, as always, on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Corey, great stuff. Appreciate you. We'll talk soon.
All right. Thank you much, Jared. You have a great weekend.
Yep. Corey Curtis joining us on the program, as always. Fireball Hot Take Friday. Boy, I love Fireball whiskey. Coming up next, though, Matt Nagy. There was a story I was unaware of. And I heard today, and I'm not going to say it's having me do a 180 on Matt Nagy, but it certainly perked my ears up. We'll get to that coming up next. Fireball Sin and Whiskey. It goes down so smooth and it tastes so great. There is no better way to ignite the night than to do it with ice cold Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey. That's right. I love Fireball Whiskey. If you're going to celebrate, you want to do so with ice cold Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey. Why? Because it goes down so smooth and it tastes so great. So if you're having a party for the big game, make sure that you've got the Fireball stocked and ready to go. When you are purchasing your supplies for the big game, look, and you'll see Fireball there. You'll say, "Jared told us," and you'll put it right there in that shopping cart. That's Fireball Sin Whiskey. Goes down so smooth and it tastes so great. Be 21 years or older to enjoy, and please enjoy responsibly. Fireball Sin Whiskey.
So there's been no talk, no movement on the Titans opening. Are you hearing anything there?
I think I said this to you guys maybe before it became, I don't know, maybe before it was public. Look, I think it's Matt Nagy. I think the only reason that it's not already Matt Nagy is because the Chiefs are still playing. Like, now, I don't know that. I'm not reporting that. that's just what I feel has happened. Like, to me, if Kansas City weren't still playing, I feel like it would have been done by now. And I think it's one of these things where it's like, we're not going to go hire someone else because, look, Matt Nagy's not rumored to be getting one of these head coaching jobs that's open. We feel like it's pretty good that this is happening here. And so ultimately, we're just not announcing it now. It's distracting to the Chiefs. Really doesn't matter if we announce it now or we announce it later or we officially decide later. I feel like it's Matt Nagy. Again, I'm not reporting anything. Like, you're saying, like, hey, what's my sense? What's my feel? My feel is that it's Matt Nagy, that it's decided. We'll go through some of these, you know, exercises along the way here. But ultimately, I think he's the offensive coordinator.
Damn. Tim Hasselbeck, on one hand, I'm telling you it's going to be Matt Nagy. On the other hand, I'm not saying anything. And that's because there are two people in football media. There are people that want to stay out of it and people who want to get in it. I'm somebody who wants to get in it. He's one of the guys who wants to stay out of it. You know, I'm staying out of this, but I'm just telling you, that's what Tim Hasselbeck, it felt like, was doing there. So it feels like Matt Nagy, the quarterback coach of the Chiefs, is going to be the next offensive coordinator of the Titans. And to me, it's very polarizing, not from a standpoint of how the people will feel about hiring Matt Nagy, but how I would feel about hiring Matt Nagy. I do like the fact that it is unlike anything Vrabel normally does, which is that it is hiring somebody who is not some bozo who he's worked with before, which I would appreciate. But at the same time, I think there's the fear of what happened in Chicago and how much of a mess that was with Matt Nagy as the coach and the fact that that offense without Andy Reid was never better than 21st in the NFL over four seasons. They made the playoffs twice because of their defense, but the offense was terrible. So what are you going to have? Because the Chiefs offense is great, but the Chiefs offense was great when he wasn't there. So how much does he do? Does Andy need him? Andy won a Super Bowl without him. But did he develop Mahomes because the one year that he was offensive coordinator was the year Mahomes sat on the bench? I don't know. And I was listening to Charles Robinson, Yahoo's senior NFL insider, on with Robbie and Joe this morning, and he was actually talking about, you know, Mahomes said on the Kelce Brothers podcast that Matt Nagy was actually the one who really was making sure the Chiefs drafted him. And so I heard that, and I said, okay, well, I got to go to the Kelce Brothers podcast, apparently, and hear what Patrick Mahomes said so I can get an idea. And this is what Patrick Mahomes said about Matt Nagy's involvement in the – is it Nagy or Nagy?
I mean, I don't know. I'll try and do some more research on that.
I think it's Nagy. Matt Nagy's
– we've heard both.
This was what Patrick Mahomes said about Matt Nagy's involvement in his – draft process.
The first day that I met Coach Reed was at the facility. We had like the meetings, like the top 30 visits. So I was in there for like 5 hours. He's just going grilled. Through plays, going through plays. And I'm going to give you all the inside scoop. Matt Nagy, who was the offensive coordinator then, he really liked me. So he gave me the plays they were going to go over the night before. So Coach Reed's finding out here live on New Heights podcast.
Oh my gosh.
Matt
Nagy! How could you?
Let's go.
And yeah, so of course I crushed the meeting. I stayed up all night studying those plays.
It's like, man, this kid is locked in. We got ourselves a winner here.
So let me say this. Matt Nagy might have been a complete bozo in Chicago, but if he was the guy who loved Patrick Mahomes and was like, we got to draft him, and not only we got to draft him, but we got to draft him to the point that, hey, kid. Here's the answers to the test before your meeting with the big boy tomorrow. Here you go. And all of a sudden, yeah, I'm not going to say like that's why they drafted him, but it definitely looked good. Okay. Then I feel better about the idea of here are the Titans picking 11th, and this guy's involved in working with Vrabel and Rand Carthon as to who the next quarterback is going to be. Because I hear... You know, Trevor talk about Will Levis, and it's like, no, I wouldn't draft him in the first round. And I watch Will Levis play in college, and I kind of feel the same way. But then I hear all these draft gurus, even Rick Spielman, the former general manager of the Vikings who drafted Justin Jefferson, I hear him saying, like, oh, yeah, Will Levis is a better prospect coming out than Mahomes. So if that's the case, I mean, could it be? Could this be the guy that helps you find the next quarterback and that coaches up the next quarterback so that maybe one of these days you can have one of the big boys? Now, here's the deal about drafting an all-time great player. Every single person associated with that player is going to take the credit. I know that Bill Belichick gets all the credit for Tom Brady, and I'm sure there's a lot of credit to be given to Bill. But when they talk about Brady, nobody ever mentions Bobby Greer, who was the senior personnel director of the Patriots, and as Lloyd Carr would say in the Brady 6 documentary, the one guy who called him at Michigan and inquired about Tom Brady as a quarterback. Nobody ever talks about Dick Rabine, the Patriots quarterback coach, who banged the table in the draft room telling Bill Belichick, we need Tom Brady. And Dick Rabine, who was Brady's first quarterback coach, who passed away before the 2001 season. So Dick Rabine, the guy who banged the table for the Patriots to draft Tom Brady, never saw what Tom Brady became. And so that is, you know, everybody's going to take credit. Everybody, Scott Pioli's going to get his credit, and this guy's going to get his credit, and that guy's going to get his credit. Everybody is going to get their credit. But what you really have to do when you're in football is you have to figure out who's really responsible for that success. Who is really the reason why Patrick Mahomes was discovered the way he was by the Kansas City Chiefs? That the Kansas City Chiefs so covertly made the moves that they made. I mean, I remember talking to John Dorsey, the former general manager at Kansas City, who was the general manager then, before he got fired after that. And I remember talking to John Dorsey about Patrick Mahomes and what John Dorsey thought of Mahomes. So he's going to want his credit. Brent Veach is going to want his credit. Andy Reid's going to get his credit. So you got to figure out how important Matt Nagy really was in this process. But the fact that Mahomes is the one who's saying, oh, yeah, he gave me the answers before the test, makes me think maybe he was involved in that, and maybe that's why the Titans like him, if they in fact do. 615-737-1025. We'll add your phones in on that. So I'm not going to say that I'm going to do a 180 on Matt Nagy right away, because I still am kind of hesitant over the fact that he was kind of a bozo in Chicago and all of his successes come with Andy Reid. But if he's the one that was pushing Patrick Mahomes, that changes my opinion a little bit of him being the next offensive coordinator. 615-737-1025. We'll get to your phones. Plus, the one thing that I can promise you today, just based upon the one source I need, common sense, that Matt Nagy will not do as the offensive coordinator of the Titans. We'll get to that next. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game on a Fireball Hot Take Friday.
Before we get into serious things, looking at the Kelsey podcast today, and Patrick let the cat out of the bag. You gave him the plays before his visit. Can you tell us your side of the story?
I keep hearing about that here today. So, it was, you know, it's always a unique and fun process going through that. And I think you go back to that time when every year you're prepping for different positions, different players, et cetera. And it's such a lengthy, grueling process. And obviously we all had, I think it was very safe to say that there was a major consensus in our building of who we liked. And so me being the coordinator / quarterback coach, I could have a little part of that to be able to, help out and see where he's at. And so I just know that Coach Reed and Veacher and a lot of other people in that building really, really, really like Patrick.
Maggie gave him, I guess, some of the plays and the checks before the top 30 visit. Are you aware of this? Were you a part of this in any way? And your reaction to it?
Seriously? I didn't know that. Man, would have never taken him.
Okay, that is Andy Reid. You hear Matt Nagy's like, you know, hey, a lot of us really liked Patrick Mahomes. I obviously really liked Patrick Mahomes. Andy liked him. Brent Veach liked him. You know, everybody liked him. And Andy's like, oh, I guess we should have never picked him. Ha, 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 ha. You know what that means? That means they're not going to tell you what really happened. But I want to know, because if Matt Nagy is going to be the next offensive coordinator of the Titans, which Tim Hasselbeck is swearing up and down he will be without reporting that he's going to be, then I need to know, how involved was Matt Nagy in the drafting of Patrick Mahomes? And I need to know the truth. And they're never going to tell you. But I want to know. Because the reality is, the big next step is who's going to be the next quarterback for the Titans. Not for this season. I think it's going to be Tannehill. I think most people think it's going to be Tannehill. And I think it probably should be Tannehill. But who's going to be the next era quarterback? And that is the one thing that I thought John Robinson deserved before he got fired, is I thought he deserved the opportunity to pick the next quarterback, because I felt like he had gotten this one right with Tannehill. So I figured they had done a lot of winning, and Mariota wasn't his guy, and so he had picked Tannehill, and they had done a lot of winning, and so Robinson should get to pick the next quarterback, but I guess he didn't. But that's the next thing. Who's going to be the next quarterback? Mike Vrabel is not qualified to pick the next quarterback. Rand Carthon, I have my reservations about. He was fourth in command in San Francisco. We know who picked the quarterback in San Fran. I laugh because when it comes to talking about Brock Purdy, Rand Carthon talked about how the area scout and Brian Greasy were the ones who really went in about picking Brock Purdy. And that's probably true. And then Rand Carthon on the Adam Schefter podcast, he gave a shout out to John Lynch and Adam Peters. And he clearly left out Kyle Shanahan. But who do you think really gets the credit for Brock Purdy becoming Brock Purdy? Shanahan! Shanahan's the quarterback guru. Shanahan's the one who made Matt Ryan league MVP. So if you're going to do, you got to figure out, okay, who deserves the credit? Who's going to pick the next quarterback? Vrabel is not qualified to pick the next quarterback. He never played quarterback in the NFL. He played a little bit of offense in the NFL, but not a lot. He's never evaluated quarterbacks before outside of just, you know, as the coach who was second in command. He's not a guru. He needs a true offensive guy that knows what he's doing to sit there and say, okay, this guy is a good quarterback. That's what he needs. And he's not that. Matt Nagy might be that guy. If Matt Nagy was good enough to go scout and get Mahomes, then he was good enough to be that guy. The second thing, and I think a lot of people were talking about this yesterday when we talked a lot about Matt Nagy, which was, do you think Matt Nagy can fix Malik Willis? Do you think he can develop Malik Willis? I heard D-Mace on the Midday Show talk about Greg Roman as a possible offensive coordinator candidate. And Caroline was like, you want to run Lamar Jackson's offense with Ryan Tannehill, which Greg Roman also was Alex Smith's coordinator, but I see her point. And Derek was like, well, you could do it for Malik Willis. And I love Derek, and I heard that. I'm like, they're not doing anything for Malik Willis. Malik Willis stinks. And there was nothing that Malik Willis showed you that makes you think he's not going to stink. How many times has a quarterback that didn't have enough talent to go number one overall like Trevor Lawrence did, how many times has that quarterback had a bad first year, showed you nothing in that first year that makes you think he can play in the NFL, and then the team says, we're going to invest more in this guy? Ryan Leaf might be the only example of that. I one time asked Mike Mularkey about why he thought as coach of the Titans, he was going to be able to do better in terms of developing Mariota than he developed J.P. Lossman in Buffalo, who was a first-round pick, and Blaine Gabbert, who was a first-round pick and a high first-round pick in Jacksonville. And Mike Mularkey said, well, with all due respect to those guys, Marcus is just better than them. And I went back and looked at it. Mularkey came in year two of Blaine Gabbert, and he benched him halfway through the season. That tells me that he knew right away Chad Henne was better. That he had Chad Henne and Blaine Gabbert, and he knew right away, I'd rather have Chad Henne. But because the big investment was made in Blaine Gabbert, they had to kind of stick with it and see where it went. But no offensive coordinator is coming here for Malik Willis. Malik Willis is awful. And so, you know, do you think that you can develop Malik Willis? No. I kept saying this at the time, and people didn't want to hear it. Malik is not even a backup yet in the NFL. Malik may never be a good enough passer to be a backup in the NFL. And you want the new offensive coordinator to come here? And you want him to focus his time and energy in developing this guy who's not good enough to be a backup quarterback right now? No. 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 Texter into the text line says, didn't Matt Nagy draft Mitch Trubisky? No, he did not. In fact, Mitch Trubisky went number two overall in that draft that Mahomes went 10. Here's the crazy thing about both Mahomes and Josh Allen. Both Mahomes and Josh Allen were decent draft prospects that had boom or bust potential, as do most quarterbacks who are drafted high in the first round. Very few are Trevor Lawrence or Joe Burrow. But when it comes to those two guys, they were taken by two teams that have made the playoffs the year before because those teams found ways to creep up in the first round and jump up and take them. But if that guy had been going number two, Kansas City never would have been able to get Mahomes. If Josh Allen had gone number one to Cleveland as opposed to Baker Mayfield, Mel Kiper Jr., and we all give Mel a bunch of crap, but Mel Kiper Jr. did have Josh Allen as his number one quarterback of that class. And if he was the Cleveland Browns, he would have taken Josh Allen with that pick. There's no way Buffalo could have climbed up to seven to take Josh Allen. There's no way they could have gotten to one, whereas they were able to get to seven. So that's what makes kind of this process. The four guys, and I hate including Anthony Richardson in this because I don't think he's very good, but the four guys, Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, Will Levis, Anthony Richardson. If one of those guys is a next superstar, like an Allen or a Mahomes, you better hope it's the third or fourth guy. Because at 11, you are not getting up to get the number one guy. 615-737-1025. For the first time this offseason, we are going to spin the quarterback carousel, and there are a bunch of freaking teams that are on the quarterback carousel. And we will do that next. Stillman & Company, Fireball Hot Take Friday, 615-737-1025, 1025-1063 The Game.